Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Mem Abraham Gold. Hi, Anthony. Maseches Yuma Daf Mem Zayin. The beginning of the fifth parak, Hotzilo. So the three topics are going to focus on number one. The opening mission of the fifth parak states, Hotzilo is a kafes a machta. They bring out for him the ladle and the shovel. Chafamoy chafna v'nasal antocha kaf. He scoops up his cupped hands full of ketores and places it in the kaf. The Gemara asks why the cup is needed on Yom Kippur, since the pasuk states, Mali chafnav vehevi, he shall take his cupped hands full of finely ground ketores and bring them within the Kippur Ochas. The Gemara answers that it was not possible to carry the ketores into the Kodesh Kodoshim without the cup. He couldn't enter once with the shovel full of coals and then come back again with the chafina, since the pasuk mentions bringing in only once. If we were to take the ketores in his hands and put the makta on top, then we need to grasp the makta in his teeth and place it on the ground and then put the ketores on it. This would be unseemly if done before a human king, let alone before the melech, malchei ha-melachim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, since it's not possible to bring the ketores in his cupped hands, he does it in the manner that's found by the Nesim. Rashi explains that when the Nesim brought their special offerings for the inauguration of the Mishkan, they offered a kaf ketores, a ladleful of ketores. Point number two, the Gemara relates that Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis had such large hands that when he was Kohen Gadol, he would do chafina with four kabin of ketores. Once on Yom Kippur, while speaking to a certain Arab in the market, a drop of spittle sprayed from the Arab's mouth onto Rabbi Shmuel's garment, making him tameh, and his brother Yesheva served as Kohen Gadol in his place. Their mother saw two of her sons serving as Kohen Gadolim on the same day. A similar incident occurred another year while he was speaking to a nobleman, and his brother Yosef served in his stead. It was taught in a braisa, Shiva banim hayala kimchis, v'kulan shimshim bakuna gadola. Kimchis had seven sons, and all of them served as Kohen Gadol. The Rabbanan asked her what she did to be zochen to this, and she replied, "Yamai loro kors beisi kalei sari. In all my days, the beams of my house didn't see the braids of my hair." They said to her, "Harbi asuken b'loho ilu. Many women did this and didn't accomplish what you did." And point number three, the Gemara brings an inquiry regarding the rule that the kometz is not supposed to be overflowing. Rabbi Yochanan said that Rabbi Yeshua ben Uza inquired, "Bein habeinim shel mali kumso mahu. What's the status of that which is trapped between the fingers of one's full kometz? Is it considered part of the kometz or not?" Rapapa clarified that the question pertained to that which is trapped between the fingers and not visible to either side. When Rabbi Yeshua ben Uza resolved the question and answered that which is trapped between the fingers is a safek, the Gemara asks what should be done with it. Ramari says that according to the Rabbanan, who forbids something that's meant to be eaten to be placed on the Mizbeach, even for the sake of firewood, there's no option except to come say Shmeini, that fat Kohanim perform Kemitza. Since her hands are pudgy, nothing will get trapped between their fingers. So once again, the three points are number one. The opening mission of the fifth parak states, Hotzilo es hakaf es hamachti. They bring out from the ladle on the shovel, Chafamali chafna b'nasal l'toch hakaf. He scoops up his cupped hands full of ketores and places it in the kaf. The Gemara asks why the kaf is needed on Yom Kippur, since the pasuk states, Mali chafnav vehevi, he shall take his cupped hands full of finely ground ketores and bring them within the parochas. The Gemara answers that this was not possible to carry the ketores into the Kodesh Kodoshim without the kaf. He couldn't enter once with the shovel full of coals and then enter again with a chafina, since the pasuk mentions bringing in only once. If we were to take the ketores in his hands and put the makta on top, then he would need to grasp the makta in his teeth and place it on the ground and then put the ketores on it. This would be unseemly if done before a human king, let alone before the melech, malchei ha-melachim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, since it's not possible to bring the ketores in his cupped hands, he does it in the manner that's found by the Nesim. Rashi explains that when the Nesim brought their special offerings for the inauguration of the Mishkan, they offered a kaf ketores, a ladleful of ketores. Point number two, the Gemara relates that Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis had such large hands that when he was Kohen Gadol, he would do chafina of four kabin of ketores. Once in Yom Kippur, while speaking to a certain Arab in the market, a drop of spittle sprayed from the Arab's mouth onto Rabbi Shmuel's garment, making him tameh, and his brother Yesheva served as Kohen Gadol in his place. Their mother saw two of her sons serve as Kohanim Gadolim on the same day. A similar incident occurred another year while he was speaking to a nobleman, and his brother Yosef served in his stead. It was taught in the Braisa, Shiva banim hayola kimchis v'kulan shimshim b'kohuna gadola. Kimchis had seven sons, and all of them served as Kohen Gadol. The Rabban asked her what she did to be zochah to this, and she replied, "Yamai loro kors beisi kalei sari. In all my days, the beams of my house did not see the braids of my hair." They said to her, "Harbi asuken b'ho ilu. Many women did this and did not accomplish what you did." And point number three, the Gemara brings an inquiry regarding the rule that the kometz is not supposed to be overflowing. Rabbi Yochanan said Rabbi Yeshua ben Uza inquired, "Bein habeinim shel mali kumso mahu. What's the status of that which is trapped between the fingers of one's full kometz? Is it considered part of the kometz or not?" Rapapa clarified that the question pertained to that which is trapped between the fingers and not visible to either side. Rabbi Shua ben Uzan resolved the question and answered that that which is trapped between the fingers is a safek. The Gemara asked what should be done with it. So Rabbi Mari says that according to the Rabbanan, who forbids something that's meant to be eaten to be placed on the Mizbeach, even for the sake of firewood, there's no option except that comes to Yishmeni, that fat Kohanim perform kamitzi. Since their hands are pudgy, nothing will get trapped between their fingers. All right, so now we go to our Siman for Daf Mem Zayin, and our standard Siman is a maze. A maze. So here goes. The boy running through the Yom Kippur maze with a ladle of Ketores had to locate seven brothers dressed as Kohanim Gadolim, and got bonus points if he found the kid with very pudgy hands. Once again, in slow motion. The boy running through the Yom Kippur maze, that must be more Daf Mem Zayin. The boy running through the Yom Kippur maze with a ladle of Ketores, which reminds us that the reason the Kohen Gadol carries the Ketores into the Kodesh Kodashim with the cuff is that it was not possible without it. He couldn't enter once with the shovel full of coals and then enter again with the chafina, since the pasuk mentions bringing in only once. If he were to take the Ketores in his hands and put the machta on top, then he would need to grasp the machta in his teeth and place it on the ground and then put the Ketores on it. This would be unseemly if done before a human king, let alone before the Melech Malchei HaMelechim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, since it's not possible to bring the Ketores in his cupped hands, he does it in the manner that's found by the Nesim. Rashi explains that when the Nesim brought their special offerings for the inauguration of the Mishkan, they offered a cuff Ketores, a ladleful of Ketores. So the boy running through the Yom Kippur maze with a ladle of Ketores had to locate seven brothers dressed as Kohanim Gadolim, which reminds us. It was taught in the Braisa, Shiba Banim Hayelo Kimchis, Bechulan Shimshu Bakuna Gadol. Kimchis had seven sons, and all of them served as Kohen Gadol. The Rabban asked her what she did to be zoche to this, and she replied, Mayamai Lero Kors Besi Kali Sari. In all my days, the beams of my house didn't see the braids of my hair. They said to her, Harbi Asukan Boho Iwu. Many women did this and didn't accomplish what you did. So the boy running through the Yom Kippur maze with a ladle of Ketores had to locate seven brothers dressed as Kohanim Gadolim and got bonus points if he found the kid with very pudgy hands, which reminds us. The Gemara brings an inquiry regarding the rule that the kometz is not supposed to be overflowing. When Yochanan said that Rabbi Yeshua ben Uzza inquired, Beina benim shel mali kum sum mahu, what's the status of that which is trapped between the fingers of one's full kometz? Is it considered part of the kometz or not? Rapapa clarified that the question pertained to that which is trapped between the fingers and not visible to either side. Rabbi Yeshua ben Uzza resolved the question and answered that that which is trapped between the fingers is a safek. The Gemara asked, well, what should be done with this? So Rabbi Mari says that according to the Rabbanan, who forbids something that's meant to be eaten to be placed on the Mizbeach, even for the sake of firewood, there is no option except the Kamsei Shmini that fat Kohanim perform kamitza. Since their hands are pudgy, nothing will get trapped between their fingers. So once again, the boy running through the Yom Kippur maze with a ladle of Ketores had to locate seven brothers dressed as Kohanim Gadolim and got bonus points if he found the kid with very pudgy hands. All right, now it's time for a four-block back Chazara. Daf Mem Gimel. So the Siman Daf Mem Gimel is a magazine. So here goes. The woman placing the ashes of the Paraduma outside the camp found a How to Be Machaper magazine. Magazine? That must be more in Daf Mem Gimel. The woman placing the ashes of the Paraduma outside the camp, which reminds us that Ulok continues expanding the psukim about the Paraduma. The pasuk states, Va'asav ish tahor es efar par v'niach, and a man who is tahor shall gather the ash of the cow, and he shall place it outside the camp in a tahor place. Ish l'hakshir sa'azar, the specification of man comes to qualify a zar for this procedure. Tahor l'hakshir sa'isha, the specification of tahor, comes to qualify a woman for it. Rashi explains that there's no need to teach that a tamei may not gather the ashes. So the woman placing the ashes of the Parduma outside the camp found a How to Be a Machaper magazine with a picture of a Kohen Gadol after his first vidui on his par, which reminds the Mishnah state the Kohen Gadol then comes to the bowl a second time and confesses. The Gemara asks, why is it different that in the case of the first vidui that he doesn't say Ubnei Aaron Am Kodeshecha, and in the second vidui he says it? The Gemara brings up Raisa that was taught in the Yeshiva of Yishmael to answer the question. Midas din no senes, logic dictates, mutav yavo zakav yechapro achai, better that an innocent one should come to gain kapara for the guilty one, va'al yavo chai v'yechapro achai, rather than a guilty one should come to gain kapara for the guilty one. So the woman placing the ashes of the Parduma outside the camp found a How to Be Mechaper magazine with a picture of a Kohen Gadol after his first vidui on his par, comfortably walking down the center of the Mizbeach ramp. Which reminds the next Mishnah says, every day Kohanim ascend the Mizbeach on the eastern side of the ramp and descend on his western side. Rashi explains that the halacha requires the one who ascends the Mizbech to turn towards the right at the top. If the Kohen would climb up the left side of the ramp, he would need to cross the ramp at the top, and that would be unseemly to needlessly cross the ramp. The Mishnah continues, Bahayom Kohen Gadol ol be'emsa v'yor be'emsa, but today, the Kohen Gadol ascends the center of the ramp and descends in the center. Rashi explains that each time the Kohen Gadol ascends the Mizbech, he ascends and descends in the center of the ramp. He thus traverses the entire width of the ramp on each ascent, whether he needs to or not. This display of familiarity demonstrates to Kodesh Baruch Hu's great love for the Jewish people. The reason the Kohen Gadol is permitted to cross the ramp for no purpose is because he's the Jewish people's shaliach. His act is symbolic of the unique relationship between a Kodesh Baruch Hu and the Jewish people. Rav Yehuda says the Kohen Gadol always ascends and descends in the center. Daf Mem Dalet. So the Simur Daf Mem Dalet is mud. So here goes. Holy mud, mud. That must be more than Daf Mem Dalet. Holy mud was placed outside the Heichal, preventing anyone from entering while the Kohen Gadol brought Ketores, which reminds the Gemara brought a Braisa that introduced a prohibition against someone occupying the Heichal while the Ketores is being burned, based on the pasuk Cho Adam Uriyeh Bo'ho Moed, no person shall be in the Ho Moed, referring to when the Kohen Gadol enters the Kodesh Kedoshim. The Gemara brings a mission from Kelim that states that we must separate from the air between the Ulam and the Mizbeach during the time of the burning of the Ketores. Now this refers to the twice daily burning of the Ketores in the Heichal. Rabbi Elazar said the Rabban only taught this law in regard to the burning of the Ketores in the Heichal. The Rabban feared that one standing there might unthinkingly enter the Heichal during that time, which is forbidden in the Raisa. But regarding the time of burning the Ketores in the Kodesh Kedoshim, we must separate from the Heichal, but there's no need to separate from the area between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. Rashi explains that the Kodesh Kedoshim is relatively distant from the space between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. The Rabban were not fearful that one's awareness of burning the Ketores in the Kodesh Kedoshim will move someone to enter the Heichal. So, holy mud was placed outside the Heichal, preventing anyone from entering while the Kohen Gadol brought Ketores. That is Mechaperes for Lashon Hara, which reminds us. The Gemara asks if burning the Ketores actually atones, and answers that it does, Rabbi Hananya taught a Braisa, which state that we've learned the Ketores is Mechaperes, as it says in the pasuk regarding the aftermath of Korach's rebellion, V'yitenes Ketores v'yichaper al'am, and he, Aaron, placed the Ketores and atoned for the people. And a Braisa was taught in Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel, Amal Ketores Mechaperes, what does the Ketores atone? Al Lashon Hara, for the sin of Lashon Hara. This refers to the people accusing Moshe and Aaron for being responsible for the death of Korach and his followers. Yavo davar shebechashai v'chapra ma'isa chashai. Let something that is offered in private, the Ketores, atone for an act committed in private, referring to the Lashon Hara. Rashi explains that Lashon Hara is generally spoken in private, even though in this specific instance, it was said publicly. So holy mud was placed outside the Heichal, preventing anyone from entering while the Kohen Gadol brought Ketores, that is mechaperes for Lashon Hara, in on the golden shovel he used to scoop the coals. Which reminds the Mishnah Daf Mem Gimel Amud Bei stated that every day the Kohen would scoop up the coals with a silver shovel and then pour the coals into a gold shovel. The Gemara explains the reason for the two shovels is the Torah Chasa Mamon Yisrael. The Torah was concerned with the Jewish people's money. Rashi explains that we too must be concerned for it, and therefore we do not use a gold shovel for scooping up the coals, lest it become ruined. The Mishnah continues, Vayom Chos B'Shal Zahav Uvahya Machnis. But today on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol scoops them up with a gold shovel, and with it he brings them in. The Gemara says, the reason is Mishim Chosha the Kohen Gadol. It's because of the weakness of the Kohen Gadol. Rashi explains that we fear that the extra effort of pouring from one shovel to the next will exhaust him. Daf Mem Hei. So the Simur Daf Mem Hei is Monopoly. The Mizbeach Monopoly Board. Monopoly. That must be more in Daf Mem Hei. Ma. Monopoly. The Mizbeach Monopoly Board with a different maracha in each corner, which reminds us that the Mishnah on Daf Mem Gemal and Beis introduced Malchus regarding how many marachas were on the Mizbeach during the year, while all agree that one was added on Yom Kippur for the coals to be used for the Ketores. The Gemara here brings a brace that identifies the purpose of each of the marachas. According to Rabbi Yehuda, there were two daily marachas, the maracha Gedola, to burn the Kerbanos on, and the second maracha for the daily Ketores. Rabbi Yossi holds there was an additional maracha for Kima Eish, maintaining a fire on the maracha Gedola. Rashi explains that the fire on the large maracha was not blazing sufficiently, they'd replenish it with burning wood from this fire. Rav Meir holds that there was a fourth daily maracha for Evarim Pedarim Shul Nisakum Be'erev, the limbs and fats that were not consumed at night. Rashi explains that this refers to the limbs and fats that were not placed on the maracha the previous day for lack of room, or those that were placed on the maracha but didn't have time to become entirely consumed. The Gemara proceeds to bring the sources for each one. So the Mizbeach Monopoly Board, with a different maracha in each corner, had a pile of wood splinters piled high in the center. Which reminds the Gemara clarifies that Rabbi Yossi's source for the third maracha, which was for Kima Eish, maintaining of the fire on the maracha Gedola, is from the pasuk that Eish al Mizbech tukad bo, and the fire in the Mizbech shall be a flame on it. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it doesn't require a third maracha. He explains the pasuk coming to teach regarding Hatzatzas Alisa, the kindling of the splinters of wood used to start the maracha Gedola every morning. This was done by kindling small twigs and splinters and inserting them between the larger boards. Rabbi Yossi derives the law of Hatzatzas Elisa from the same place that Rabbi Shimon derived it from, for it was taught in a braisa when the pasuk states, "V'nasnim b'nei Aaron ha-Kohen eish al-Mizbeach," and the sons of Aaron the Kohen shall place fire on the Mizbeach. Rabbi Shimon says, the pasuk is coming to teach that Hatzatzas Elisa shalotei el-Berosha shal-Mizbeach, the kindling of the splinters may not be performed except at the top of the Mizbeach, meaning that a Kohen may not ignite the splinters on the floor and then bring them to the Mizbeach. So the Mizbech monopoly board with a different maracha in each corner had a pile of wood splinters piled high in the center and a community chess card for taking calls for the Yom Kippur Katoris from the Mizbech Chitzon. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings a long brace on which the question is raised whether the calls to the Katoris of Yom Kippur are taken from the Mizbech Chitzon, the outer altar, or the Mizbech HaZahav. The Torah states, and he shall take a shovelful of fiery coals from upon the Mizbech from before Hashem. The phrase Melifnei Hashem, from before Hashem, implies that only a part of the Mizbech is before Hashem, but not all of it. Which Mizbech is that? It's Mizbech HaChitzon. Rashi explains that the Mizbech HaZahav is considered completely before Hashem. Daf Mem Vav, so the symbol of Mem Vav is a cow going moo. So here goes. The Kohen carrying the singed invalid cow parts, that must be more in Daf Mem Vav. The cow carrying the singed invalid cow parts of the special fourth maracha, which reminds us we learned on Daf Mem Hei Amud Aleph that Reb Meir held that an additional maracha was set up daily on the Mizbech for burning the limbs and fats that weren't consumed at night. So in our Gemara here, Reb Elazar said in the Amar Bar Kapara that Reb Meir was saying the following, Evrei Ola Shinitosu, regarding the limbs of the Ola that were left over from the previous night, one makes a separate maracha for them and arranges them upon it, and even on Shabbos. So the Gemara asks what Bar Kappa is teaching, given that an explicit Mishnah stated the requirement for a fourth maracha. And Rabbi Avin answers, the clause is needed only to teach that the fourth maracha is set up even for invalid parts that are left over. But this is only if the fire has already taken hold of the invalid parts. However, if the fire had not yet taken hold of them, a special maracha is not set up for them. Rashi explains that it's only upon becoming singed that the parts are considered lachm shemizbech, the bread of the mizbech. Others understand this qualification applies to valid parts as well. So the Kohen carrying the singed invalid cow parts to the special fourth maracha, who was told it wasn't permitted to do so with the Friday tamid on Shabbos, which reminds us, after knowing that both Bar Kappa and Rava agree that we kindle the initial maracha on Shabbos to burn the leftover weekday parts, the Gemara brings Rav Huna's opinion that tchilasa docha sofa in a docha, the beginning of the Shabbos tamid, referring to a shchita and offering up of its parts, is docha Shabbos, but the end of the Friday tamid is not docha Shabbos. So we see that Rav Huna holds that parts of the weekday tamid are not burned on Shabbos. The Gemara brings a machlokes regarding what is meant by in a docha. Rav Chissa said, it's docha Shabbos ve'in a docha satuma. This means that although the end of the tamid is docha Shabbos, it's not docha tuma. Although we generally override the tuma restrictions for the sake of the tamid, the mere burning of its parts is not significant enough to warrant this. Rabbi said the Rav Huna meant docha satuma ve'in a docha Shabbos. Although the burning of the tamid is docha tuma, the end of the Friday tamid is not docha Shabbos. Although the parts of the tamid are burned in a state of tuma, the parts of the Friday tamid are not burned on Shabbos, for their burning doesn't warrant being docha Shabbos. So the Kohen carrying the singed invalid cow parts to the special fourth maracha, who was told it wasn't permitted to do so with a Friday tamid on Shabbos, almost stepped on and extinguished coals that had been removed from the Mizbeach. Which reminds us, it was stated, Machabe Esh Machta Menorah, with regard to one extinguishes the fire of the Machta, the Ketor Shovel, or the Menorah. Abai says, one is Chayev, and Rava says he's Patur. The Gemara clarifies that they agree that one is Chayev if he extinguished the coal at the top of the Mizbeach. They disagree in a case when he took it down to the ground and extinguished it there. Abai said he's Chayev Esh HaMizbeachu. The coal is considered the fire of the Mizbeach. Rava says he's patur, kevin de nitka nitka, because once it's removed from the Mizbeach, it was removed. It's no longer considered Eish HaMizbeach. All right, now it's time to conclude our pop quiz with 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from previous Masechtas. Number 1. Which of the learned that Bar Kappara teaches that the fourth maracha is set up even for invalid parts that are left over provided they become singed? That's on Daf Mem Vav. Good. Number 2. Which of the one that since the part of the kometz that's trapped between the fingers is a safek, if it can be brought as a kometz, kohanim with pudgy fingers were required to do the kometz? That's on Daf Mem Zayin. Good. Number 3. Which of the one the coals of the Yom Kippur Ketores is taken from the Mizbech HaChitzon, which the pasuk describes as Melifnei Hashem? That's on Daf Mem Hei. Good. Number 4. Which of the one that Kimich has credited her tznias for the reason that she had 7 sons who served as kohanim gedolim? That's on Daf Mem Zayin. Good. Number 5. Which of the one the Kohen Gadol does not mention Bnei Aaron in his first vidui because Mutav Yavu Zachai V'yechapra Al-Chayv? That's on Daf Mem Gimel. Good. Number 6. Which of the one Ketores Mechaperes on the Avera of Lashon Hara? That's on Daf Mem Dalet. Good. Number 7. Which of the makos Abai and Rava, whether one is chai for extinguishing coals that have been removed from the Mizbeach? That's on Daf. Mem Vav. Good number 8. Which of the learn the Kohen Gadol scoops the coals with a gold machta and brings it into the Kodesh Kodashim, so he shouldn't get exhaust from pouring it from a silver machta into a gold machta? That's on Daf. Mem Dal. Good number 9. Which of the learn Yudah learns that the Pasuk of Vayesh al Mizbeach Tukad Bo is coming to teach about the Hatzatzas Arisa? That's on Daf. Mem Hey, good. And number 10, which of the one the Kohen Gadol took the Ketores in the Kodesh Kodeshim with a kaf because there was no way for him to bring it in just with his hands. That's on Daf. Mem Zayin, good. Now the 3 bonus questions. Number 1, which of the one the impact that age has on Talmid Chachamim as well as Amei Haaretz? That's on Daf. Kufnum Beis and Shabbos, good. Number 2, which Daf the one that Takanas Ezra was modeled after Harsinai? That's on Daf. Chaf and Brach is good. And number 3, which stuff do we discuss the status of animals found wandering between Yerushalayim and Migdal Eder? That's on Daf. Chaf and Shkolim. Excellent. That concludes the Bob quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.